money is power. The power to control the money is one that is now in the hands of those who believe that we can function without them. So how can we do something? Working hard to get a raise, lifting that wage up. Inflation, chase it like a hidden taxation. Elevated interest rates to get the bank way to create money with the loans that they're giving out daily. That means our money's in debt, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. No wonder then why the middle class is going under when the ones above them gotta cover income to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken. Every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Things are about to change.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 1205 PM. And as we continue to explore the world of cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and the changing economic future here on the Henry Rain Show, this week we will be looking at the upcoming August 1st SegWit 2X activation, the user-activated soft fork. There's a number of comments and combinations and terms for what's going to happen, but some of the repercussions are already being felt in pricing and actually announcements from different exchanges and miners, etc., which we'll get into more. The SEC has ruled on initial coin offering on what they consider to be actual security offerings and what rules and regulations they think apply, and more importantly, what laws they think are going to apply to you if you try to participate in those. We have Floyd Mayweather. We're not talking about the big fight, but we are talking about his discovery. We will be talking in a little bit with Lee Hansen. He is the CEO of Byte Federal, the fast-growing ATM Bitcoin operators that are expanding throughout Florida and soon beyond. You've heard his business associate, Leonard Lopin, in the past couple weeks here try to explain things. But before we get to any of those things, I want to welcome into the studio, returning and exploring and self-educating himself, Augie, on the world of cryptocurrency. Good afternoon, Augie.
Good afternoon, Henry.
And also joining us from the other age spectrum here in the studio is Alex Solis, and he has been helping us out the last couple weeks, too. Hey, Alex, how are you doing?
How you doing, everybody?
Yeah, so Augie, Alex, we have a big event coming up here in August 1st, just a few days away. Before
we go
to that, I want to just give a quick quote at price time, or the price at airtime here. Bitcoin is currently trading in U.S. dollars at $2,706. Ethereum is trading at $182.97. And we should have a caveat here. You can go to different exchanges, and these prices will vary a little bit depending on what's actually happening and being trading at the moment you look at these, because things happen fast. And Litecoin is trading at $39.46. Augie, I want to go to you because you've been in a number of investments. And I have to tell you, I've had some success trading stocks, and also, more importantly, I've had some success in looking at charts and using what the charts tell you. But things happen in this market let me back this up. One of the things that I tell people that I don't necessarily know which stocks to pick, but if you pick 10 stocks, half of them are going to go up, half of them are going to go down, and if you can just eliminate the big loser, there's going to be one big winner in the group, and you will make money. But one of those things, by eliminating the big loser, you have to set your limit. And in my case, any stock that drops by more than 10%, you really shouldn't have the hope and optimism that that's coming back. But watching these currencies trade in an hour, they'll swing 20-25%. That's the normal trading channel. What have you noticed on this?
I think the radical nature of these items is only going to get stabilized if, as the SEC comes in and does the stabilizing, because without that, this thing is just a nightmare waiting to happen for some people. It's a dangerous thing. If you can play the game just right and get lucky and know that when you're lucky, you've got to cash out. But you're cashing out, and you're cashing out in dollars. You're not cashing out in more bitcoins. Perhaps you are. But the point is, you're likely not. You're going to take those dollars and convert them into some other investment if you're smart. You're not going to stay in the investment of bitcoins alone. That would be not too wise.
Well, Alex has the benefit of youth, and he doesn't know how scary it seems to some of us when we look at the swings of
this. I'm not afraid because I'm not doing it.
Well, it's more dangerous not to be in this than to be in it.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Why do you say that, Alex?
Because if you think about it, if you were in this 10 years ago, you'd be a billionaire today. A guaranteed millionaire, but you'd probably be a billionaire because you would put all your money in it and you'd be really
all
good.
My money. Why would I do that?
Your experience in stocks and stuff, you would see this is up and coming.
I've been in puts and calls, and there was one particular time that I got into that, and I invested three different items, and two of the items lost quite a bit, and the third item made up for that and some. But it was a space of 5 days that I did that. I don't have the time or the energy. I did contracts at the time, design contracts, which made a lot more money for me on a routine, stable, controllable situation. I don't like to be out of control.
You're talking about a market that traded from 9:30 in the morning to 4 o'clock in the
exactly.
afternoon, not 24/7, seven yes. days a week. Alex, you've yes. seen your money quadruple. You've talked yep. about that. But recently, in the past month and a half, you've seen a third of your money disappear in a day. And normally, people that were experienced traders in other commodities or securities would have banked some of that money away and not taken the risk, but you didn't.
Yeah, the other day, I put only $30 down on a coin called Amis Go, and I made over $100 in profit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still there. It didn't drop. The coin went from 40 cents to $1.50. And
there's eight different coins that I've accounted for that I looked at. Now, so you got into it. Is that part of the... I think there was a list of eight you had out there, Henry.
I made my own list of guaranteed winners. I have about six of them.
We need to
clarify
our disclaimer.
Right.
Alex is not professionally registered or anything like that. His opinions are his own. They're not those of Augie and I or the station. And we individually can do our own investments, and we can speak from that. So when you say a guaranteed winner, that's not something that you can actually guarantee.
No, I guarantee you. Know, I mean, it's all like a great prediction. But it to me, if you look at the certain way these certain coins are going, you already know they're going to go up. Like, for example, Amis Go did a contract with McDonald's
in
Thailand.
Now, you just made a statement. You already know. I know. I'm certain. I'm positive.
Calculated risk.
It's calculated. It's different than I know.
But it's 99.9.
But 0.1%, it could go the other way.
Yes. This is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on the clock and probably come back to later in the show. We're going to get ready to get our guest on, but someone or some people that are involved with a media group that know a thing or two about risk have had their own audio and video put out. This is courtesy of Fortune Magazine speaking to ICO risk, initial coin offering risk, as Alex was just speaking to, the one that he... or ones that he has looked at.
Cryptocurrency has become a major topic for investors in the last few months. We're talking about things like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, and a whole bunch of other new digital currencies. The price of Bitcoin, for one, has risen more than 300% over the last year. It's doubled in 2017 alone. Ethereum, on the other hand, is up 2,000%. Needless to say, investors are pretty excited about investing in cryptocurrency, but they need to be wary. Here are three things to know about investing in cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrencies are much more volatile than stocks or bonds or any of the assets investors are typically used to investing in. They need to be aware that they can go up 25% in a matter of minutes or hours, or they can crash, which is extremely common. Beware scammers, especially now that Bitcoin and Ethereum have become so much more valuable. Hackers are going and attacking investors, getting into their accounts. Even a few exchanges have been hacked. Even though cryptocurrencies are much different than the typical assets investors are used to investing in, like stocks, you still need to pay your taxes on them. The IRS is now going after some investors who have made big profits in these cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum, but who haven't paid their taxes. In fact, only 800 people reported their gains in Bitcoin last year to the IRS. Some billionaire investors have put as much as 5 or 10% of their own net worth into cryptocurrency because they say it could be the next big thing, potentially even bigger than the internet boom. And we're not talking just the dot-com boom and bust, but everything that came after, which has made investors very, very rich. Of course, some investors think that there could be a bubble in the meantime, and it could be even bigger than the dot-com bubble.
That, of course, on the risks of ICO investments and cryptocurrency in general from the people at Fortune magazine. I want to take a moment before we go to our guest and remind you that you can follow the show in a number of different ways. You can get the podcast on demand at henryrainshow.podomatic.com. That's henryrainshow.podomatic.com. The podcasts are also on the internet on our Facebook page, facebook.com/henryrainshow. You can follow on Twitter also. We notify you there at Henry Rain Show on Twitter. And we'll also, if you peruse the Twitter timeline, you'll find Augie's Twitter handle there. And you have to be careful because there's about four Augies out there on Twitter that we have to discern the correct one to follow.
Yeah, there are people who copy me. There really are.
And we look forward to that. You can also send your emails to henryrainshow@gmail.com. Joining us on the air now, and we're hoping we're going to get a good phone connection here, is Lee Hansen. He is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Bite Federal. That is the company we've told you about a number of times over the last few weeks that are placing Bitcoin ATMs all around Tampa Bay, Florida, and soon beyond the state borders, I'm sure. One of the fastest growing ATM, Bitcoin ATM companies, and we welcome him here today. Lee, thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's good to be here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we got some pretty good audio coming through here now. And before we get into the topics at hand, some of the big news stories of the week, tell us what's the latest with Bite Federal in the ATMs that you're placing? I think the count's even gone up from the last time we spoke to your associate, Leonard Lopin, here.
Yeah, we're fortunate to have a relationship with General Bytes that makes them actual equity partners in our company. So we have a large quantity of machine access and great software support. Let's see, the last ATM we deployed, I think, might have been the one at CJ's on Treasure Island.
Okay. So for people around the area, in the listing area, and, of course, online, who knows how far away they're listening, but close, starting with Bradenton in the studio here at WWPR, right down the street at 34th Street and Cortez Road. You might run into Alex there, too. At the Shell station there is, I believe, that's a two-way Bitcoin ATM, isn't it, Lee?
Yeah, it is. You can both buy and sell Bitcoin through the unit, which is actually really cool. We'd like to deploy a lot more of those, but they're expensive. So currently our methodology is to get as many one-ways out in the field as we can, and then we'll roll back and figure out which towns deserve two-ways.
Okay. So by two-way, you mean they actually dispense cash as well as allowing you to buy the Bitcoin and putting them into a wallet? Is that the correct terminology?
Yeah. We don't hold the wallets. It's the customer has to have a wallet, and then basically you just hold up the wallet's QR code. The machine figures it all out. You put cash in, and you get Bitcoin sent to that wallet.
And that's an electronic wallet.
Yeah. And well, the two-way will print a paper wallet. But we don't recommend it because it prints it on thermal paper. Florida specifically is not a good place for thermal paper.
And that's because you need what is printed on that to be able to access your Bitcoin sometime in the future.
Yeah, it's not exactly a persistent methodology.
Okay. All right. And then you also, besides Bitcoin, you can trade another currency there. That's Dash?
Yes.
Differentiate that for us.
Well, the difference between Dash and Bitcoin is an interesting and technical discussion. I don't know how far you want to go into it, but Dash does some really cool things. First of all, I think that the development group are a highly intelligent, ethical bunch of guys, and they've come up with some unique, you know, methods in their in the basis of design that are really cool. One of the things I like is that masternodes, which are what the Dash community calls miners, they create a general fund, and every time a block gets verified, much like the miners, you know, coins are awarded. Well, in the Dash community, when coins are awarded, 10% of that award goes into a general fund, which the masternodes then get to vote on its utilization. So people, anyone out there can create a proposal, submit it to the Dash group, and the masternodes can vote whether they want to fund it or not. It's really interesting.
Well, that's something we'll need to explore more, particularly maybe in the second segment when we talk about ICOs and all the different cryptocurrencies that are proliferating. But right now, the most immediate thing at hand is the Bitfork, as some people call it, when the SegWit2x activation takes place, and there's a bunch of possible ramifications. Some have already started to happen, but explain to us what the fork is, Lee.
Well, it's interesting. The I think my perspective has changed on what it actually is. I think right now I would term the fork as necessary, almost like how a fire regenerates a forest. What we have is a difference of opinion that's driving a wedge in the Bitcoin community or has already driven it. But what's coming out of it, what we expect will come out of it, is actually good on both sides. The SegWit group is basically tailoring their currency, it's not even a currency, their asset, as an investment platform where the fees will be high, and so that steers away from the merchant utilization as a currency, right? On the other side, you have BCC, or Bitcoin Cash, which is adhering to, I think the Satoshi white paper more tightly, and they're going to create gigantic blocks, and that'll run the fees really low, you know, down into the dirt cheap region where Bitcoin started. And then from that, it'll be we'll be able to use it as currency because the fees are so tiny, merchants can now process transactions with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's try and stop for a moment and let the audience that's trying to catch up to this, it's new to them. Let's put it in terms of when someone goes to the store and hands the person their Visa card to make a purchase. The transaction happens, it seems like, within seconds. How does that compare? That because there are a number of places around the world that you can pay for products with Bitcoin and some other currencies too. How does what happens when I use my Visa card compared to when I try and pay out of my electronic wallet with my Bitcoin?
Well, it depends on what technology you use to facilitate that. BitPay and ByteConnect both facilitate instant Bitcoin transactions. The difference being in the current Bitcoin state of things, fees are so high that it's a zero sum game.
How high
There's
is high?
No way, high is let's say like $2 to $3 per transaction when you set priority high on the transaction.
Okay, so somebody could try and buy $20 of groceries, and that would if the merchant had to give up $3 out of that $20 purchase, there's no reason to do it.
Exactly.
Now, is it true that this is Augie talking. Mr. Vera wants to create some stability, it's my understanding, so that Bitcoin Cash will compete with PayPal and Visa. Is that the goal of this whole thing?
I think that's exactly correct.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to do that, you're going to have an element of trust and a relative cost that you're charging people. So if you're going to have a transaction costing on the low end, 20-30% of the cost of the purchase, you're going to discourage the use of that. So how do you get it down there?
Well, that has to do with making the block size large again. and which I don't exactly understand the relationship between the block size, but when the blocks aren't full, the fees go way down. Another thing that I read this morning that Bitcoin Cash is introducing is the Dash-like dynamic hashing difficulty, which, you know, I think that'll play an interesting role in how the miners interact on the network.
Okay. Well, we're introducing some terms to the audience. That let's back up and just go into the first news story that we were talking about, and that is as this fork is coming in Bitcoin with the SegWit 2x activation, a Hong Kong-based digital currency exchange, Bitnex, said on Thursday that a minority of Bitcoin miners will be forking, in quotes, to create, that was with forking with an O and an R in the middle, to create a new blockchain called Bitcoin Cash on August 1st. The fork does not impact Bitcoin balances, but it creates a new token, Bitfinex said. Fork is when the blockchain splits into two potential paths. And so going into a New York Times article, for the last 2 years, rival factions have been vying for control, as we were just discussing. Now one of the main candidates is preparing to break off, and that's the Bitcash. And a group of investors and entrepreneurs, most of them based in Asia, which is also going to play into the discussions not only today, but as we go forward, because for so long, the U.S. and the dollar has been the center of the financial universe, and the other economic powers have been on the outside looking in, but things could be shifting with this. Anyway, those investors are backing the Bitcoin Cash. And Roger Ver, a Tokyo-based investor that Augie was referring to, said, I actually think it's a good thing if there is a split. Now, Mr. Ver has been one of the leaders of the contingent that wants to change the rules governing the Bitcoin network. And as Augie said, wants it to be able to compete with the Visas and PayPals that we as consumers are currently familiar with. Bitcoin Cash, as Lee was indicating, is set to increase the limit on the number of transactions processed by Bitcoin network every 10 minutes. You talked about high transaction costs with some of the Bitcoin transactions. Now, what would be considered the low end of the cost that Bitcoin Cash may be able to achieve?
If that's directed toward me, I don't know what the bottom is, but I do remember when they were fractions of a penny back in the early days, and it'd be nice to see that occur again.
Well, can I say this? 10X has created a Visa card where you can
load 10X.
It's a upcoming company, and they're releasing a Visa card this year where you can load your Bitcoin and other currencies on there, and the fees, there's zero fee to spend your money anywhere.
Now, that's in the form of a debit card?
Yes, and it's already out. The better version's out.
Not a credit card.
No, it's a debit card.
So it's like a prepaid debit.
Yes, but you put Bitcoin on there, and the market, it goes with the market. So if you have a Bitcoin, your Bitcoin goes up, it goes up on your card too.
And where do you find the merchants that accept that particular kind of card?
Visa, anywhere Visa's accepted.
Well, that's pretty huge.
Well, now you can spend your money.
But if you're prepaying, you are prepaying for that.
Yes, you got to buy your Bitcoin, then load it up onto the 10X card. Mm-hmm. And 10X also has a coin.
And then you take it to any Visa.
It's like a telephone call.
Now, Lee, are you familiar with this company?
There are several companies out there that are doing it. I know that BitPay had an option. Just recently read an article where somebody had combined, was it Abra and, was it American Express, I think, in that regard. So, you know, basically being able to convert to any currency on the fly and be able to spend it anywhere that American Express was accepted, I think. So there's some cool innovations coming out in that regard.
Well, let's finish this topic if we can, because that's going to also take us into some of the topics about the other initial coin offerings, too. So anyway, we've got this Mr. Ver. He wants to achieve the goals that Augie had previously said. And recently, as last week, it appeared the major Bitcoin players had found a compromise that wouldn't split the network, but now it seems that it already has, that the Bitcoin Cash, although it's not trading, the futures on Bitcoin Cash are already trading at $450 at the time of this article. So some of the largest mining operations are in China. One of the significant Chinese mining operations via BTC, Bitcoin, has been an outspoken supporter of Bitcoin Cash. What are the power centers here, Lee? It sounds like Asia is the dominant power in the form of these different. It's not a particular government. It seems like the largest financial interests, accumulation of capital and all, are in Asia. Is that correct?
It's a good question. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I do know that I side with them. Although I think there's a definite benefit to the other group, to the other side of the fork, and I see absolutely no reason why they can't both coexist. So, you know.
So let me ask one more question on the visa matter, because I think that's critical to everything else. If a visa is in place and you're anchoring those cards that you're using with set money, what happens if the value of the Bitcoin goes down? The anchoring is on a previous value. What happens in that situation?
Your value goes down in your account. It's the same as the market. What it does is when you buy something, it sells it at that exact moment at that price.
So if I go out and buy a car with a Visa card, and the card's anchored in Bitcoin, and I've got $20,000 and the value drops 20%, I've now got $16,000.
Well, the value would have to drop during the time you're making the transaction.
But remember, if it goes up, you've benefited, and Bitcoin always goes up.
Yeah, I get that, but you committed to a purchase of an item, a car, an auto, at a value of whatever it is, and you're in a transactional state of paying it off, and the value drops in the middle of the transaction. Now you owe more money, perhaps, if you've lost.
Once you swipe the card, it's done. But if you're sitting down discussing it.
No, Augie's making a point. It's not going to be the 20% that he's talking about, but it certainly can change 2 or 3 or 4%, which in the terms of a $30,000 car is going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference of your rent payment that month.
But can I say this? You can go to a Toyota dealership. You can say you got $20,000 of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. You go to a Toyota dealership. All of a sudden, Bitcoin goes up 1,000%. You could leave there and go to a Lamborghini dealership now. It happened before.
But we're talking about everyday kind of transactions. Mm-hmm. Augie is concerned about
it's similar to
if you want to get a lot of people involved in this, it's going to be an everyday thing, as Henry's saying.
Yeah, it's a risk. Or you can. There's also an option on the card where you can just sell the Bitcoin at that price and it's loaded on your card. So that price will not change.
Okay.
But I don't recommend doing that one because if it goes up, it's going up with you.
Okay. Well, that's something, looking at the clock, that we're going to explore in the weeks to come as we evolve this whole study that we have ad hoc created here at WWPR. We have Lee Hansen on the phone. He is the CEO and one of the founders of Byte Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company. Let me, before we go to break here, remind you that you can find it in Bradenton, one of the Bitcoin ATMs, at the Shell Station at 34th Street and Cortez Road West in Bradenton, at Honoray and Clark Road in Sarasota at the Marathon Station, across the bay at Ferg's, the sports bar near the Tropicana Field, and also, what is the name of the one on Treasure Island?
It's at CJ's.
CJ's, which is a nightclub, lounge, restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay, all of the above.
Not a restaurant. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have one at Channelside. Where is the one in Channelside located? Is that another Ferg?
Yeah, it's at Ferg's Live.
Okay, and then finally, one down very far south in the listing area in Englewood. Where is that one?
That one's on Placida Road at the Citgo gas station.
Okay, and then you can find out about this online at bytefederal.com. That's B-Y-T-E, federal.com. Coming up on the other side of the break, the SEC weighs in on all this, and we're going to go back, courtesy of the people at Fortune, with a debate on initial coin offerings.